Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Well, the director of the CIA has confirmed the US has cut off intelligence and military aid to Ukraine, but believes the pause will go away soon, in his words. Mike Waltz, Donald Trump's national security advisor, said today that the US has taken a step back and are pausing and reviewing all aspects of the US-Ukraine relationship. Well, to discuss the implications of this for Ukraine and the prospects of a ceasefire with Russia, I'm joined now by the former director of the CIA, John Brennan. John, good to talk to you again.
Good talking to you, Cormac.
It's been widely reported that the US has stopped sharing all intelligence with Ukraine earlier this afternoon. It had been reported that, the halt in the flow of intelligence had been selective, only affecting information that could be used for attacks inside Russia. So what are you hearing? Any clarity from your side?
Well, the CIA Director Ratcliffe had announced this morning on one of the TV stations here. And I think many of us find it quite shocking, because over the last 3 years, the Ukrainians have really depended on the United States for so many aspects of their defense against the Russian invasion. As you well know, there are weapons, there are the support systems, there is advisory work, there's the technical systems that facilitate communication. But intelligence is what the Ukrainians really need in order to understand exactly the nature, the scope, the details of the Russian military operations against them. And so intelligence that comes to the United States and other partners really enabled the Ukrainians to take the appropriate measures to defend themselves, to prevent the deaths of civilians and their military troops. So this cutoff of intelligence is really, I think, going to have, you know, significant impact on the Ukrainians' ability, again, to withstand Russian aggression.
And this assertion that this will go away soon, this pause to military aid and intelligence sharing, we don't know how long that is, how soon that would be. Do you think Ukraine would be able to hold out for much longer without U.S. support? And would Donald Trump allow Ukraine be railroaded in that situation?
I mean, these are really, you know, the most important questions. I do think the Ukrainians are going to continue to fight to stop Russia's occupation of Ukraine, almost irrespective of what type of help they get from the United States. But the United States support is critically important to their ability to withstand that type of Russian military aggression. So, you know, how long this pause is going to stop to be on, it's unclear. Trump announced this pause in military assistance, and now with intelligence assistance also being paused, it really can have an effect. You know, over time, a lot of the NATO partners, the Europeans who are working with the Ukrainians, are going to try to make up some of that shortfall. But again, I think it's a critical, you know, shortfall that the Ukrainians are going to be experiencing if the United States continues this pause, again, on the military front and on the intelligence front, for days or weeks or whatever.
See, one reading of it, John, is that it's a negotiating tactic, pure and simple, for Donald Trump, that he withdraws the sharing of intelligence and military aid and forces Ukraine, really, who are extremely vulnerable, to sign the minerals deal. So, I mean, if it's that, and if Ukraine holds out without any security guarantee, what could happen, in your opinion?
Well, I think it could be a calamity, not just for the Ukrainians, but for Europe overall and for even the United States. You know, the mineral deal can be signed because it's going to take, you know, years, quite frankly, to be able to develop those minerals. And as long as Zelensky and the Ukrainian government are comfortable with the financial and economic aspects of that, that's fine. It's the issue of peace talks, in terms of, we see that the United States has been in negotiations or discussions with Russia about Ukraine without the Ukrainians involved. I mean, that is just ludicrous. How can you engage with one of the belligerents, the principal belligerent here, and not bring the Ukrainians into the picture? So, you know, the trend of this Trump administration the first 6 weeks is very, very disturbing in terms of, you know, our vote at the United Nations, you know, the continued praise that Trump seems to be heaping on Vladimir Putin, and the criticisms being levied against the Ukrainians and President Zelensky. That Oval Office meeting last Friday was shameful in terms of how Zelensky was treated. Here's a wartime leader, a statesman who really has risen you know, over the last 3 years to be able to continue to defend his country. And so, again, a lot of the national security professionals who have worked in the U.S. government over the last several decades are quite frankly appalled and shocked at the drift of this Trump administration toward Russia and against our allies and partners, whether it be the Ukrainians or Europeans or Canadians or others. It is, you know, contrary to many, many years of U.S. foreign policy.
So where are the adults in the Republican Party?
You know, that's a really good question. I work with many Republicans in Congress and Senate for many years, and I just it's hard for me to understand how they have adopted these positions, and they're so obsequious to Donald Trump, despite the fact that you look at statements that Mike Walls or Marco Rubio or Lindsey Graham have made over the years denouncing Russian aggression. Mm-hmm. And here now they have totally reversed and have repudiated those previous positions because they are fearful that Donald Trump is going to be angry with them. And so the principles that undergirded, especially the Republican Party, which was known for its national security credentials and its involvement in world affairs, it now is abdicating that role. And so it really is quite concerning as we go forward. If this is what happened in the first 6 weeks, what's going to happen in the next 4 years?
I'm sure they're appalled. And I'm sure former senior officials like you, John, are appalled. But what about the people who are senior military, U.S. military and U.S. intelligence chiefs that are still within the machinery of the state in the U.S.? And they see the commander in chief aligning with Russia, aligning with North Korea, ceasing aid and intelligence to an ally who's under attack by an aggressor who's an enemy of the US, traditionally the US. I mean, that is undermining a life's work and service to the USA. I mean, how much longer can they put up with this, I wonder?
Well, unfortunately, Donald Trump has appointed individuals to head up the Defense Department, the intelligence community, the CIA, who really are partisan and who are loyal to a fault to Donald Trump. The professionals underneath them, I think, are quite concerned about the drift here.
And they're the ones I'm getting at, John. They're the ones who would have to implement orders, for example. And I know that he's appointed loyalists in senior positions. But you have very senior intelligence officers and U.S. Military officers as well who would have to carry out orders. And they are the experienced ones, are they not? I mean, they're the ones my question is focused on.
Yes, well, I think you know, a number of intelligence professionals have either resigned or retired since Donald Trump was inaugurated because they don't want to be part of this administration. Military officers, I mean, they have a very strong tradition in the U.S. military about being apolitical mm-hmm. and not getting involved in politics. And as long as the orders that they're asked to carry out are lawful ones, they are obliged to do so. They may not like it. I'm sure there are a lot of flag officers in the U.S. military who are quite concerned about the sympathies being expressed toward Russia and the abandonment of Ukraine. But unless they decide to leave the service, they are obligated by law to carry out the orders of the commander-in-chief.
The foreign policy in general and the mood that it's creating since Trump has taken office, the tariffs, for example, and China responding to tariffs today with their own tariffs, they're saying we're ready for a trade war, we're ready for a fight with the US, any type of war, they say. I mean, how would that be received by members of the CIA, for example, in your experience?
Well, again, I think the CIA professionals are going to carry out their responsibilities the best they can and try to tell truth to power. What policy decisions are made by the Trump administration is something else. But I think the damage of a lot of these policy initiatives are going to be felt over time. And I think U.S. voters, the American electorate, are going to realize that the types of things that are going to be done, such as tariffs and these other policies, are really going to have very negative reverberations over time. And so we'll just have to see whether or not the Republicans in Congress are going to start to demonstrate their opposition to some of these what are reckless policies, because there's no way that there has been good thought given to the impact of these policies. And quite frankly, the Trump administration is in the process of dismantling the federal government, taking down, you know, or firing thousands upon thousands of federal workers and dismantling a lot of the government institutions and departments that really keep this country strong and prosperous. So I think we're going to be feeling the effects of these policies in the coming weeks and months, and we'll have to see how the American public reacts.
Can I ask you one final question, John? We've seen a wartime leader in Zelensky being humiliated in the Oval Office by Donald Trump and his vice president. Ireland has taken a very strong stance on Gaza and on Ukraine as well. Ireland is part of the European Union, as you know, obviously. In less than 2 weeks' time, our Taoiseach will head to the White House to meet with Donald Trump at the White House for the traditional ceremony there. How do you think, if you were advising the Taoiseach, what would you say?
I would say keep to your principles. I, quite frankly, have been exceptionally pleased to see the positions that the Taoiseach and the Irish government have taken on Ukraine and on Gaza. And these principles are critically important if Western democracies are going to continue to do what is right on the world stage. So unfortunately, right now, we have a bit of an aberration in the United States government in terms of the Trump administration's policies. But the more that the European leaders can stand up and tell Donald Trump that this is antithetical to what our countries have stood for over the past 80 years, basically since World War II, I think Donald Trump needs to hear that, and I'm hoping that the Taoiseach is going to convey that message. The relationship between the United States and Ireland is critically important to so many Americans. But again, the principled ethical stance that the Taoiseach and the Irish government and people have taken, I think, are to be applauded.
Okay. Thanks a million for joining us. Former CIA Director John Brennan.